Welcome to Delivering Miracles, a podcast to teach women like you tips and strategies on how you can have a safer pregnancy so you can bring home a healthy baby. I'm your host and your high-risk pregnancy expert, Farijat Deshpande. I can't wait to chat with you. I've been reading some philosophical type books lately. It's just been calling to me. I've just been interested, and I've been diving back into some of my old books actually from high school when I was in English class. We'd read all these classics and things, and I came across a book that had some quotes by Joseph Campbell, and one really stood out to me. It says, "Your life is the fruit of your own doing. You have no one to blame but yourself." And I read that and my face turned red. I mean, if Joseph Campbell was standing right in front of me, I would have yelled until the end of time reading that. I was furious. I get really sensitive about quotes like that because the first thing that I think of, the first thing where my mind goes is I think of my clients who are going through one of the hardest times of their life. Most of them are going through a high-risk pregnancy. Some of them are healing after the loss of a baby. Some of them are going through infertility and fertility treatments. And I think about them, and I think about my own experiences having gone through infertility and a very high-risk pregnancy and many months in the NICU. And I think about the women who email me and tell me what they're going through and share their stories with me. And I think about all of these women, and I get so angry because quotes like that it's some of the worst advice that a woman going through infertility, a high-risk pregnancy, prematurity can possibly hear. I mean, now I know Joseph Campbell wasn't talking to women like you and me. I know that. But it's out there. It's out there for you to see as you're scrolling through Facebook, as you're on Twitter, Instagram, as you're on Pinterest, as you're, you know, getting emails from people who have those little quotes in their signature that just pop up on their own. It's there. And if you're having a particularly bad day where you had a failed cycle, or you found out you miscarried, or you found out about a new complication in your pregnancy, or whatever, you're having one of those days and you see a quote like that, it really hurts. And not just hurts, but it perpetuates a thought that is haunting you, and I know that because it haunted me, and it haunts all of my clients. And it's a thought that actually hurts us as we're going through all of these hurdles and as we're trying to heal after it's all over. You know, we live in a culture and a time when our reality is based on cause and effect. Really strongly. You know, if I work hard, I'll get good grades. If I persevere, I'll win the award. And so the opposite then becomes something that we automatically believe too. If I fail a test, it's because I didn't study enough. If I gain weight, it's because I didn't eat right or exercise enough. I mean, there's a lot to be said for taking ownership and responsibility for the choices in your life and the way that your life goes from a general life journey perspective. Totally agree with that. But what do you do in situations when there's a health crisis like infertility or a high-risk pregnancy or prematurity where there is no cause and effect? There's not one person who works in the field of fertility or pregnancy or pediatrics who will tell you that there is a cause and effect for really anything that goes on in that phase of life. And yet our brains are so trained to find that linear line. And so our brains automatically go there. I can't get pregnant because I'm broken. I have these pregnancy complications because there's something wrong with me. I did something to cause my baby to come early. And now here's the thing. If you ask most women who have been through this or are going through this right now, they know they didn't actually do anything. They know it. See, the thing is, you know you didn't do anything to cause your fertility challenges, your pregnancy complications, your preterm delivery. You know you didn't do anything to cause it. You know you didn't do anything to deserve it, but you only know it in your head. You have to know it in your heart, in your body, and in your soul to truly let the blame go and to truly deeply heal. It's a hard thing to do. Because somewhere along the way, you just need to blame someone for how unfair it is, for how hard it is, for how ridiculous this is, for all the uncertainty. You just need to blame someone. You just need to point your finger at somebody. And when there isn't anyone, because you know in your head there isn't, it's not like your doctor's causing this, it's not like you chose this, it's not like you did something, even though I know you're searching for answers, you're trying to find them, right? You're doing this research going, is it because I got pregnant when I was 34 and a half that I have preeclampsia right now? Is it because I had an abortion when I was 18 why I can't get pregnant right now? Is it because I was an egg donor? Did I lose all my eggs and now I don't have any for myself? That actually happened to a woman that I spoke with recently. That's the grief and the guilt that she's carrying. Is it because I wanted to go to my sister's wedding that my water broke at 32 weeks? I know that's what you're thinking because I thought it too. I struggled with fertility, not nearly as long as many people, because we knew that there would be a problem. So we went in very aggressively to try to help myself get pregnant. And getting pregnant for me wasn't the problem. It was staying pregnant. I lost her first due to a ruptured ectopic. And then I got pregnant after IVF with my son. But before I even knew I was pregnant, I developed my first complication. And the first thought that I had when my doctor told us that I was pregnant, I was in the exam room recovering from the procedure. I was super dizzy and woozy and exhausted, and my legs were aching, and my husband was sitting by my legs just rubbing them. And the doctor peeks in, he opens the door a crack and goes, congratulations, you're pregnant. Obviously, both of us were like, what are you talking about? Like, she's, look at her. She doesn't look like she's in any shape to be able to carry a pregnancy. And yet I was. Yet I was. And my first thought after the shock of like, are you sure? What are you talking about? My first thought was, oh my God, here we go again. My body just can't do this. I don't know what my body's doing. It's doing something crazy and it's not figuring it out. And after that, that particular complication, ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome is what it was called. It was very severe. It was actually really scary. That complication lasted several weeks. In the midst of that, I developed a second complication, subchorionic hematoma, where I was bleeding profusely for weeks on end, convinced every time I had a bleed that I was going to lose him. But it wasn't the complications that were hard to deal with. I mean, yeah, my heart would stop every time I'd have a bleed. And then after that, I developed 6 more complications before he was born at 24 weeks and 5 days. And with every complication, it wasn't the complication that was hard. I mean, yes, it was hard. But the harder part was the guilt. I imagine this little baby, this little tiny bean, that's just trying to grow, that's just trying to make it, that's just trying to do what it's programmed to do in the womb. And here's my body, like, throwing every possible grenade at it. Almost like a, can you handle this? How about this? And how about this? I mean, I can kind of joke about it now. Although there were many moments of very, very dark humor, I will say, during the process. Because at some point you got tired of crying, right? I got tired of crying. I was like, I've got to find a way to laugh about this. There's some things I probably will never share on the podcast because, you know, but it made us laugh. There's tremendous guilt that my body just could not get it together. Just could not get it together to provide this warm, loving environment to help this little baby thrive. This little baby that has done zero to deserve this. Right? And then I add on to that the guilt of everything my husband had to do to make up for the fact that my body could not stay pregnant, that it was not an easy pregnancy, that I had so many problems. I mean, things from having to leave early from work to constantly meet me at doctor's appointments that were not scheduled because I ended up having to go in anyway because there was something wrong and nobody could figure out what it was. But I knew there was something wrong and eventually figured out that I was in preterm labor and I was having contractions. I was having preterm contractions first. Eventually, went into preterm labor. Things like cleaning the house, doing everybody's laundry. We were just recently married. It hadn't even been 2 years, or just been barely 2 years. And even though we had dated for several years before that, it was still like, it was new, it was brand new. And like the idea of him doing my laundry, like, totally bugged me. I didn't want that. Why are you doing my laundry? No, not yet. At least we're newlyweds still. Cooking, grocery shopping, Target runs, Costco runs. And on top of the fact that I had to stop working, so half the income was gone. I mean, thankfully we were able to manage because he was doing so well in his career. He still is, thankfully. But I saw how hard he was working. And then on top of just the physical work that he was doing, I saw the toll that it was taking on him emotionally. He was worried about me. You know, he hadn't really ever fully recovered from the scare of when I had the ruptured ectopic, which is a very dangerous situation to be in. And so he had that on his plate, and now he was thinking, looking at me going, you can't move and you have all these complications. He saw how stressed I was. That was worrying him. He was worried about the baby, of course. He was worried about what would happen to me if we lost another one. He was thinking about all these things, right? Men don't talk about this stuff necessarily, but I could see it on his face. That's what it was. And, you know, after so many years, we've talked about it and he's shared a lot more since then. But at the time, I could see it on his face and I felt terrible. And I got angry because it's easy to feel angry. But who do I direct the anger to? Nobody caused this. I knew that. I knew it in my head. But I needed to blame someone, so I blamed myself. It had gotten to the point where I used to tell my husband, I must have been a horrible person in my past life that this is what's happening to us. This must be my punishment. Do I actually believe that? No. But I had gotten so far to the end of my rope, so far to the end of my sanity, that how else do you explain this? How do you explain the fact that after struggling with fertility, after losing a baby, and also in one of the most dangerous ways that you can lose one, to have one complication after another, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do? I wanted an answer. And the answer I came up with was it must have been in my past life, because I can't think of anything that I've done in this life to deserve this. I've made mistakes, sure. Nothing to deserve this kind of outcome. So it must have been in my past life. And that was the narrative that I held on to. This guilt feels real. It feels legitimate. It feels like you're right. It feels like you almost have to turn it into a fact to help yourself get through this. Even though you know it's not actually your fault, but you're looking for some kind of stability, some kind of rock to lean on in the midst of all the chaos that's happening around you. But what does it do to you? It takes a tremendous toll to have these thoughts, and even if they're not thoughts, to have these feelings, to feel broken, to feel like you're failing, to feel like you aren't doing enough, to feel like you have to apologize all the time because you're not holding up your end of the bargain of cooking or childcare or bringing in the finances for the family or whatever it is. Being able to protect this little baby that's just trying to form and grow and thrive. But it takes a tremendous toll. It feels like it's related to just this phase. I'll feel this way right now. But once the baby's here, once she comes, once he comes, and I can hold him or her, all of this will go away. And it doesn't. It does not. Because until you change the way that you're conceptualizing this, and for as long as you carry this guilt with you, you will always be wondering what you did. What you did wrong, what you could have done better. And this is true even if you deliver full term. You have a healthy baby born at term, everything looks fine. And the minute that kid gets a cold, the minute that kid has some feeding issues, the minute you find out that you're not able to breastfeed or your milk is coming in slowly, the minute you find out he or she might be behind in school, all of this comes back. And that guilt that you carry through this experience of infertility and through your high-risk pregnancy, it's like almost guaranteeing emotional challenges postpartum. Depression, anxiety, stress, more guilt. Because it's not what you know in your head that's impacting it. You know in your head you didn't do anything to cause this or deserve this. You know that. I know you know that. But you have to know it in your heart, in your body and in your soul to be able to let this go and to truly heal. It's part of the reason why I developed a Healing Hearts program, because I wasn't originally going to do postpartum work. That came later. That came down the road because I realized in my own experience personally how much of this carried over postpartum, and not just postpartum in the first 12 months, for years. For years it stuck around, and it would show up in like the most unexpected ways. I thought I'd be over it, and then something would happen, and there came that guilt again. And that's why I created that program, because so much of this healing has to happen in your body. It's like I say to my clients all the time, we can tell ourselves anything we want. We can pick a thought and we can stick to it. The sky is green. Yes, it is. I don't care what you say otherwise. The sky is green. We can tell ourselves anything, but our bodies never lie. Our bodies never lie. Our bodies will always tell us if we're actually healed over something, healed from something or not. Right? Like, there are so many people that I know personally who are obsessed with their weight and hitting a particular number on the scale. It's something that's very important to them for a variety of different reasons. And maybe you hit that weight. Maybe you hit that goal. But when I talk to them, the couple of them that I'm actually close enough to actually have this conversation with, they can tell in their body whether that number actually feels good or not. If they feel healthy at that weight or not, if it feels right or not. Doesn't matter what the rest of us say. Doesn't matter what they tell themselves. Your body's always telling you. Or it's like when you sleep at night or don't sleep at night, right? You get 4 or 5 hours of sleep, maybe 3 hours of sleep. And the next morning you're telling yourself, I'm fine. I can handle this. I'm fine on 3, 4 hours of sleep. I'm just going to drink some coffee. I'm fine. But your eyes are closing and your head is hurting and your body aches. You're not fine. And so much of this healing and letting go of this guilt I found really has to be a part of your body. It has to start in your body. And from there, your thoughts will follow. Because you could otherwise tell yourself all you want, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. But if you're holding on to that tension anyway, if you're holding on to that guilt in the pit of your stomach, you feel that like, ugh, there it is again. Doesn't matter what you tell yourself. It's not over. And so I have 3 things that I want to share with you. That if you're ready to let go of this guilt, and I hope that you're ready to let go of it as you're going through the journey, so you're not carrying this with you postpartum, but even if you're listening to this postpartum, it's never too late. Never, ever too late, whether your baby is 2 months old or 2 years old or 20 years old. It's never too late. So I want you to think about these tips that I'm going to share with you. I've got 3 of them that I love to teach my clients that I'm going to share with you briefly right now. I want you to think about them in terms of your body, okay? And I'll explain what I mean as I'm going through them. So number 1 is to challenge your thoughts, okay? Remind yourself that this is not your fault. This is really easy to blow off and do, right? Because you can tell yourself right now, this is not my fault, this is not my fault, this is not my fault. I know this is not my fault. I know I did nothing wrong. I know I didn't do anything to deserve it. You can say that over and over. It's going to sound like a broken record. You're still not going to believe it. So I want you to do this after you have relaxed your body. Do whatever it takes. If it's a massage, you know, have your partner massage you for a little bit and then run these thoughts through your mind. If you're allowed to get into a pool, if that helps, do that. You can float. That's a great way to do that. If it's when you're lying in bed or taking a bath, if you're allowed, or if it's while you're on a walk, you know, if you're allowed to exercise and you're pregnant or you're not pregnant, but you're exercising, you know, something where it's relaxing your body because you have to retrain your brain. And I'm suggesting you do it by getting your body in the right place first. Relax your body and then challenge your thoughts. Remind yourself that this is not your fault. That's one. Number two is to make a list of things that you are doing to protect your baby. Now, again, you can make a list of 17 things right now. Maybe it'll be challenging, maybe not. It's not the list that's important. It's that you do it at a time when you feel relaxed. So I don't want you to make the list as an effort to try to change your thoughts, because that's not going to work. Get your body into a relaxed state. And then make a list of all the things that you are doing to protect your baby. What are you doing? And when you do this right, it is incredible how much more powerful these words are that you come up with. I've experienced it myself. I can sit here and make a list of 30 things right now of all the things that I did when I, you know, protected my son. I gave up my career for him. I learned about all my medical conditions so I could ask the right questions, and I ate healthy or whatever. I slept well, whatever it is, right? I did all those things. But when I did it, when I was lying down and really relaxed in my body, and I said the exact same words back, I ate healthy. I slept well. I advocated for myself to get the best care for him and me. It hits home harder. Because what you've done is you've dropped the walls that you've created to protect yourself. And you're really allowing that to come in. And it feels physically very different. So again, get your body in the right place first. And then make the list of everything that you are doing to protect your baby. And number three, and I think this is probably the most important. Not probably, it is the most important. And it is also the hardest one to do. Is to show yourself some compassion. And that goes hand in hand with number two of making a list of all the things you are doing to protect your baby. But it's hard because it is really easy to blame. The self-blame and the guilt comes from terribly critical thoughts of ourselves, terribly critical thoughts of ourselves. If you think about it, there's decades of research in the psychology field and the marriage and family field that show that criticism is really what ends relationships. If you look at all the couples who end up having either miserable marriages or the ones that end, it's criticism that does it. And yet we think it's okay to do to ourselves when in fact it's going to do the same thing to us. You know, maybe we don't have a relationship with ourselves necessarily, but it's going to show up in our health, in our mental and physical health. It'll happen. It's awful. It is so bad. It is like, think of it like poison. It is so, so bad. And yet we do it so freely and so easily, right? There's a reason why this is so difficult, though. There's a reason why we avoid it, myself included, that there's a reason why. It's because compassion is the key to opening up a dam that you've built. And it's a dam of emotions that will come out when you open it. And the thing is, we're all so overwhelmed. And we're all, you know, we're so at the end of our rope sometimes. We're so overwhelmed by it all that having more come seems like a bad idea. So we put it away and we put it away and we put it away. And then we lock it up with anger towards ourselves and we say, no, this is my fault. And that keeps that dam locked up. The compassion, though, is the key that opens it. And what happens is when you open it, it's not all the emotions that become overwhelming. It's really one in particular that most of us avoid, which is grief. Because when you show yourself compassion, you're acknowledging just how hard the situation is. It's not your fault. You're not doing anything wrong. You haven't done anything wrong. You haven't done anything to deserve this. It just really is this hard, and you don't deserve it, and your baby doesn't deserve it, and your family doesn't deserve it. And sitting with that, allowing that to wash over you, and accepting that, that is the key to healing, truly, deeply healing from all of this. So those are the three that I'd love for you to try. Challenge your thoughts. Remind yourself that this is not your fault. Number two is to make a list of all the things that you are doing to protect your baby. And number three is to show yourself compassion. And if you're going through this, whether you're going through fertility treatment or high-risk pregnancy or the baby is home and you're healing afterwards, I can help you figure this out. And I can help you do it quickly so you're not wasting any more time pointing the finger at yourself, blaming yourself, and taking on this responsibility of something that you are not responsible for. It's not your fault. You know you didn't do anything to cause this or to deserve it, but you only know it in your head, and that's not enough. You have to know it in your heart, in your body, and in your soul to truly let this go and to truly heal. And if you'd like help with that, if you're sick of this and you don't know how to get out and you're just ready for it to be done, reach out to me at parijatdeshpande.com and I'm happy to help. Thank you so much for joining me here today. If you enjoyed today's episode, I'd love it if you can head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave a review, because the more subscribers and the more reviews that we get, the higher this podcast ranks, and more women who are struggling through infertility and high-risk pregnancy and prematurity can tune into Delivering Miracles for inspiration and tips and motivation on how to get through it all with more peace and less guilt. Also, I would love to stay in touch, so follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. All the handles for all those three platforms is Parijatdesh. That's Parijatdesh. The Dalai Lama said, "Love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive." And I'd love to just add that without them, you and I cannot survive. To be the best partners and parents and friends and daughters and sisters and neighbors that we could possibly be. For as much love and compassion as you show others, don't forget to show yourself double. Take it one day, one step at a time. You can do this.